Welcome. You're listening to Coastal Conversations, the National Centers for Coastal Ocean Science podcast. I'm Kevin McMahon. Many of you will be familiar with this sound. You might assume they came from a submarine, but these data pings are actually from something that might be considered a submarine's younger sibling. These pings are coming from an autonomous underwater vehicle, or AUV. This device will figure prominently in today's episode. Before we join today's featured researchers, here's a brief overview. The coral reefs at the foot of Florida are legendary, making up a barrier reef that spans more than 255 continuous miles, making it the fifth longest in the world. It is home to an incredible array of marine life. But these reefs, like coral reefs across the globe, are in serious trouble. In recent decades in particular, the reefs within the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary have been damaged by hurricanes, bleaching, disease, and heavy human use. Recently, NOAA and its partners have launched a new initiative they are calling Mission Iconic Reefs. This is one of the largest investments in coral reef restoration anywhere in the world. Here's Shay Veeman from the Center's Coastal Resilience, Restoration, and Assessment Branch to tell us a little more.
Mission Iconic Reefs is a coral reef ecosystem restoration effort in the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. It focuses on seven reefs that stretch from Eastern Dry Rocks Reef off of Key West up to Carysport Reef off of Key Largo. Iconic Reefs is led by NOAA, but is a collaboration amongst the community and many, many different partners, including federal and state agencies, non-governmental organizations, academia, and industry. The most important aspect of Iconic Reefs is the people. This is a massive effort that is relying on the expertise and involvement of dozens of community partners that are working together to promote a successful restoration effort. The restoration doesn't just focus on corals and planting them, it also includes removing species like snails that eat the corals and restoring herbivorous species such as urchins. The goal of Iconic Reefs is to restore these Keys reefs to a healthy, vibrant ecosystem that is has a lot of great fish diversity and a lot of fish species and a lot of reef complexity and healthy, all of which depend on healthy corals.
In late April and early May 2023, researchers from the National Centers for Coastal Ocean Science, or NCOS, headed down to the Keys to conduct reef surveys in support of this initiative. The team was comprised of Sarah Rojano and Shay Veeman from the Center's Coastal Resilience, Restoration, and Assessment Branch, along with Chris Taylor, Eric Ebert, and Mike Bollinger from the Center's Habitat Mapping Team. They have completed their first mission using an innovative new type of AUV known as a micro-sized uncrewed underwater vehicle, or UUV. These UUVs are much smaller than traditional AUVs at just 4 feet long. Each of these torpedo-shaped, self-propelled vehicles are mounted with a high-resolution camera and can be programmed to cruise highly specific paths over the seabed to collect a variety of imagery. The team were kind enough to take time out from their work in the field on a breezy afternoon to speak with us. Here's Chris Taylor with a brief introduction and description of the UUV.
Yeah, it's Chris Taylor here. We're in the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary with Eric Ebert, Mike Bollinger from NCOS's Habitat Mapping Team, and Sarah Rojano from the Mission Iconic Reefs team. We're using an autonomous underwater vehicle, or AUV, that's outfitted with a camera to conduct large area surveys of shallow water coral reefs in the sanctuary. We're here for about 2 weeks, conducting missions each day where weather permits. The vehicle flies about 30-minute missions and collects about 4,000 images at a time. And Sarah will use those images in order to reconstruct a model of the coral reefs in order to track condition and recovery from restoration.
The AUVs we're using are about 4 feet long, about 4 inches in diameter, have a single thruster on the back and three fins. And they're outfitted with battery power, a GPS antenna, and a motion sensor that helps them find their way underwater. We programmed this torpedo-shaped AUV in order to fly about a 30-minute mission underwater. And again, it covers about a football field size, taking pictures all along the way during the entire mission. All these pictures are stored on the AUV, and on recovery, we bring them back to the lab and analyze them and put them together in a three-dimensional model that's used by the restoration experts and researchers to understand the condition and distribution of corals in the area.
On this particular mission, the AUVs surveyed shallow coral reefs in an area of the marine sanctuary known as the Eastern Dry Rocks. In about 30 minutes, the device was able to collect images that covered an area larger than a football field. That's over 40 times the area that divers could cover in the same amount of time. The images collected will be used to construct 3D models and image mosaics of the reefscape to provide the sanctuary with information in areas where restoration is planned or already underway. Since this is a new tool for the group, these first missions have several objectives. Here's Chris to explain.
But this is a new device, and so this project is focusing heavily on how well the AUV performs, how well it can navigate underwater, and how crisp and clear the pictures are for us to be able to interpret the corals that are on the bottom. What we hope this can accomplish for us is a way to extend and expand the amount of photos that are taken in order to develop large photo mosaics or large images and models of the shallow water coral reefs to support the restoration of coral reefs in the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary as part of Mission Iconic Reefs.
The AUVs are highly sophisticated instruments. It's not a case of simply turning them on and letting them loose. It's actually similar to the pre-flight routine you might find in an airline cockpit. Numerous functions and systems need to be checked and cross-checked before each and every deployment.
All right, let's check fins and thrusters. Dorsal fin?
Check.
Starboard?
Check.
Port?
Check.
Thruster?
Check.
All right, we're recording in pinpoint.
Once everything has been confirmed to be in full working order, the device is then gently deployed.
All right, everything checks out. Let's bring it to the rail.
At the rail.
All right, we're going to start. Hold on, let me start the camera. All right, camera started. Let's start the altimeter. All right, ready to bring to water, starting mission.
Ready to deploy.
All right, go ahead.
Deploying.
All right, let's boat's clear. Let's get the boat clear.
Vehicle's clear.
Free to maneuver.
Once the AUV has surveyed the aforementioned football field's worth of reef track, it is recovered and the data evaluated.
So good retrieval team. Looked really good. Sir, thank you for pulling that out of the water with the hook. Good job, Captain. Conclusion of about a 30-minute dive. What kind of data are we looking at there, Mike?
Yeah, we got about 200 gigabytes of data, 30-minute dive. Got about 16 volts of battery left. We probably got about one more dive, maybe two, left in the tank. So, something to consider.
Sounds good. Let's go ahead and maybe look at maybe planning the next dive and how much time we'll have in the water.
Yeah, let me see how this one performed. Let me pull the vehicle data, and we'll take a look at it.
How many pictures does that equate to, Mike?
That's a good question. It takes 4,000? Yeah, 200 gigs is about 4,000 photos. It takes 2 photos per second.
Battery life is always a limiting factor on how many more deployments will be available for any given day while in the field. This is just one of a multitude of considerations the researchers must account for each day. While most people would jump at the chance to work in the Florida Keys, a place many people would consider idyllic, working in this popular subtropical environment brings its own special set of challenges.
As far as challenges go, the Florida Keys are pretty nice, but we do have challenges just like anybody else. Weather is an issue, and wind. Weather here can come out of nowhere, and it's difficult to predict. Winds can pick up in the afternoon or not, or pick up in the morning and lay down, and that all impacts the sea conditions.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. When we start go out, it might be nice in the morning, winds will pick up, and then all of a sudden we have a 2-foot sea from a wind swell blows in unexpectedly. So it makes it really difficult for mission planning and vehicle recovery.
It's really important for mission planning because the vehicle's not recoverable when it's underwater and underway. So we have to plan at least 30 minutes ahead for our 30 minutes missions.
As well as the the folks who live here and use these reefs, there is some vessel traffic.
Yes, so we do need to be mindful of the vessels that are out, whether they have snorkelers or divers. We need to be aware of what proximity they are to us when we are flying the vehicle.
Or even fishing boats that are transiting through our area. I think in a lot of cases we just make very clear communication to vessels that are in the vicinity and make sure that everyone on board here is maintaining awareness of the weather and the conditions that we're experiencing.
Yeah, we try and let other vessels know our mission plan and where we're going to be operating and things like that.
Along with the ever-changing wind and tide patterns, boat traffic, and fishermen, the warmer months of the year can also bring an oppressive heat and humidity that makes physically demanding field work that much harder. But having said that, the team persevered and now have their first batch of data to take back to the lab and begin modeling. Here is Sarah and Mike discussing the anticipated products from their work.
The main product that we're trying to achieve is a larger scale model of all of the reefs that we are surveying. From that, we hope to be able to track the benthic community and cover over the course of 10 years, in addition to coral change and health, in addition to growth and rugosity. So basically trying to determine the success of our restoration efforts over the course of the project.
So Mike, Sarah used the word model as one of the products that's being developed during this project. Can you describe what that model is and how it's produced?
Yeah, absolutely. The models we're creating are three-dimensional models of the reef structure and the seafloor. They are, like we've been saying, they're comprised of 4,000 or more images that are all stitched together, kind of like a patchwork quilt. All the photos have about... They're overlapping, so we can see the same kind of structure in each sequential picture, but we're adding a tiny, tiny bit each time, and we're painting the entire reef with photographs. And all of those images get stitched together in an effort to create a 3D model.
Like, how big is the model? What's the full scale of one of the models that we could construct with one of the AUV missions?
Yeah, as far as the model size goes, we're trying to paint a 150 by 40 meter box, which is about the same size as a football field. A football field is about 120 meters by 40 meters.
While the public at large will benefit from this work, however, certain groups in particular will find this information particularly valuable. Here's Sarah to explain.
There's two types of groups that are going to benefit from this. So this project is a multi-organizational effort. So it is going to help the scientists who are not only doing the outplanting, but also trying to track the reef over time and the longevity of this project. But then in addition, it's also going to benefit the good folks of Florida, because we're trying to enhance the resilience of the reef over time.
While field missions of this sort require lengthy preparations and long days at sea, the work is rewarding to the team. Once again, here's Sarah and Mike.
I think what I enjoy most is being able to see the reefs that I've worked on for the past 10 months for the first time. It helps me get a better idea of what I'm actually looking at and have a little bit more appreciation for our field team and all the work that they do when they're collecting this imagery for us.
Yeah, so you've seen the reefs virtually by looking at them on your desktop computer, and
yes,
just the data. But so seeing them in real life, it gives you better context for the scale of the scope of the activity and the work that we're doing.
It does, absolutely.
Yeah, I worked in coral monitoring before coming to NCOS, so coming back to these reefs, seeing them change over time, and continuing to work in coral monitoring is really enjoyable, and contributing to the effort of restoring the corals.
The conditions the researchers encountered during this particular foray were nearly ideal. This further enhanced the overall enjoyment by the crew. Here's Eric and Chris.
Yeah, one of the major aspects of this project is the research and development of using this autonomous underwater vehicle to collect images for us. We're hoping that this vehicle will be able to collect images over a much larger area than divers can do on their own. But it's taking us a lot of testing and evaluation to understand the capabilities and the limitations. But one of the enjoyment factors of working in the Florida Keys is the conditions that we're working in.
Yeah, the conditions we're working in usually are pretty clear water. And, you know, besides some of the weather issues that might blow up, it's usually pretty calm offshore. So as scientists, this is a really nice location for the research and development aspect, so we can focus on the data that we're collecting and...
the data quality.
And the data quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clear conditions, clear visibility in the water allow us to monitor the vehicle at times. It ensures that we're going to collect the best quality images when the vehicle is behaving the way that it should.
The researchers we met today will continue to run surveys in the sanctuary until all seven areas have been covered, and the products they produce will prove invaluable to the restoration and continued enhancement of the coral reefs of the iconic Florida Keys. If you'd like to learn more about the Mission Iconic Reef Initiative, please visit www.sanctuaries.noaa.gov. To learn more about our role in this effort or about all the other great coastal ocean research being conducted by NCOS, please visit our website at www.coastaloceanscience.gov. Thank you for listening.